Penn State's reputation in the fashion industry is something you would hear from everyone when you're in New York City.
I will say we're quite well known for being hard workers.
Kent is really known for delivering well-rounded students.
Kent has one of the most prestigious fashion programs in the U.S. and also internationally ranked.
Our alumni are in every corner of the industry, every job position that you can imagine.
They all are ready. They have all the courses. They have everything under, you know, under their belt.
That? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like.
Nexco, give it to you.
How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. And that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it?
Nexco, give it to you.
Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S.
Give up.
Order now at Acura.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Lay. Sir. Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast. This week, we will be previewing the 2021 RBC Heritage. But first, we'll recap the Masters, all that good stuff to get you up to date on last week and ready for next week. You can find me on Twitter at BDIntricPodcast, at AlwaysPressDFS, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFSGolfGods. Jesse, how are we doing?
Doing well, dude. How you doing?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Another Masters in the books, a green jacket to a new golfer. It's been a wild one. So take it away. What were your thoughts on the week?
Yeah, it was an interesting week, man, to say the least. Obviously, you know, Rose's round on Thursday. Did you get to see much of that or any of it? Or?
I was in and out, and I'd watch the highlights every night when I was doing other podcasts and everything. So
I'm with you. I mean, that 65, you know, he was two over through seven, and then
unconscious on the back.
Yeah, I mean, nine under for the next 11. I mean, that's just insane, especially in those conditions, dude. It was firm and fast on the greens, especially the, you know, fairways, not terrible, but so I mean that round, and you know, of course too, that, you know, one of the guys that you asked me about, I said no fucking way am I playing him, and the son of a bitch comes out and is the first round leader.
In the end, he went Rose on us. So
he did. I mean, you know, the thing about
still finished
him,
well. Still finished well.
I mean, he finished seventh, but didn't shoot under par the rest of the week. I mean, that just tells you right there how tough the golf course was playing, though. Because obviously he had a 4-shot lead after the first round, and then you know, so many dudes got cut after Friday. I mean, can you believe DJ? I can believe Brooks. Brooks looked hurt. I don't know if you saw him.
Brooks, I think his machismo got in the way this week. Instead of just being like, dude, I'm going to sit this year out, he he was trying way too. Like, we were putting pictures in the chat and everything. Like, when he's putting, he looked like Camilo Villegas out there with the leg out to the side. That's how my daughter crawls right now. So it was just like, it's like, come on, dude.
Well, he was like late Thursday. He was limping, and I knew.
He probably found the wrong path, the uphill.
I was in trouble. Ratio. Well, I played too much of him, man. I just thought, you know, I bought into the fucking Superman hype. So annoyed with myself.
I would suggest to continue doing that, because one of these days it's going to pay off in a gigantic way. Maybe $150,000. Who knows?
Yeah, could be. Yep. I don't get blackballed first. So you would like then move on to Saturday, obviously. You said you were out playing on Saturday.
We have our master tournament. We play our score. We draw a random name out of a hat. Their Sunday score with our score decides the winner.
Gotcha. So Hideki won the tournament because it rained.
Yes. Yeah. As they say, sometimes luck of the draw. Given it wasn't a draw on Saturday, you had to qualify to be at that
point. Right. I mean, obviously, luck of the draw. he started well, 69-71, so he's 4 under going into Saturday, which is in good position. I think it, you know, was inside the top 10 at the time. And actually, if he'd have finished, you know, even part of the rest of the way, he still would have finished inside the top 10. Anyways, that rain completely changed it, especially on Saturday. I mean, it just did. And he adjusted appropriately. The rest of the guys, nobody really was doing much, except for Will Zalatoris, man. Talk about impressed. Apparently he changed his putting stroke. I didn't know this. So this is the type of shit that, like, we need to know.
Where's golf a beat reporter on this? Where are you at?
I need to know that he's brought a Bryson putter and he's going to use a pencil grip. I mean, that's how he was.
Yes. Oh, I know. It was crazy.
Like, he was like basically putting one handed. It was very strange. Either way, the dude, he was lights out, man. I mean, every round under par in his first Masters, finishes second, wins $1.2 million. Just, I mean, I can't tell you how impressed I am with him. Nobody really, Sunday was anticlimactic for the most part, except for
the near implosion.
Hideki hits it over on 15. Like, I don't know. Like, Billy Horschel was there a few hours before, and he hit it in that water over on 16. And then started throwing up grass, like, you know, oh, where's the wind at? And it's like, dude, either you just pulled it or you hit too much club. I don't understand. But either way, I thought, we had a good golf tournament then. And then Xander, right, straight into the water. I mean, my God.
It's heartbreaking.
Yeah. But either way, man, congrats to Matsuyama. I mean, the guy just, he had it all working finally for once. I was asked, and this is what I was when I said I had something good for the podcast. Texting with my buddies, you know, leading up into the whole entire weekend, they're like, you know, are you want Matsuyama? I was like, well, I will take Matsuyama over Zalatoris, who I told people I wouldn't play because I didn't trust his putter. Schauffele, who I said I would not play at all whatsoever. Rose, who I said I would not play at all whatsoever. I'm like, you know, this is fucking awful, you know, for the podcast we had last week, my takes on everybody, like. Shit. I did say that Matsuyama was playable, so go ahead and put that in there. Go ahead and put that in my little tout check mark over there for that deal. But overall, good weekend, man. Augusta played tough. I was glad to see it. I do like firm and fast golf courses. I thought they were getting kind of borderline on Thursday.
Oh, man. I've never seen the greens that brown in my life. I know they were expecting rain, so I get what they were doing, but who?
I got a feeling that heads are rolling today about the look of that place, because I asked everybody, have you ever seen the greens look like this? And there was not a single person who'd ever seen a brown spot on that golf course, let alone half the damn greens are brown.
Well, because I'm working during the day, so I'm checking scores on my phone. I'm seeing guys like putting off greens, chipping off greens. I'm like, what in the heck's going on? I get home, I turn the TV on, and I'm used to, you know, turning on Augusta, and it's just green, vibrant everywhere. Right. Oh, yeah. And I see this just brown circles all over the place. I'm like, what? That's like my Muni in December. Like, what are we doing?
Did you hear Kisner's quote after the first round?
The part about going home to his kids or something else?
No. It was after the first round. He was just they were talking about, like, asking him how the conditions played or whatever.
Oh, the first timers.
He was like, in November. Well, he was like, you know, it's difficult when you're hitting it in from 180 and trying to avoid, because if you hit the brown spot, it's going to bounce hard, and if you don't, like he said, this is the best I've hit the ball that I can remember recently, and I shot even par.
Yeah.
And he played, I think he missed a cut then.
The next day, he missed the cut. Yeah, no, I do remember that quote. No, he had some good quotes in that interview. Like, that's why we love Kiz. Like,
no, dude, Kiz is the shit, man.
He's the best. He does not care. He's just one of the dudes that's going out there. He's better than the rest, like us type dudes. But he also knows how good he is and what he can do, and he goes and does it. It's awesome. I love everything about him. And he also had the comment about, I feel bad for first timers that had their first time in November and showed up to this golf course and thought they could still play. And then Max Homa quote tweeted it. He was just like, this was ridiculous. So
yeah, it was a totally different golf course. I mean, and I don't know, maybe did it have something to do with the fact that they just played a tournament there 6 months ago? That's why
I don't think they wanted to see 20 underscores again.
I mean, it just seems to me like whoever is running. I also heard that they got a new sub air system.
That could be it too. Maybe they overdried things out.
I mean, I just gotta think that people are just getting chewed up and down today.
Yeah, you would think so. Yeah. They have hoses on their back doing wind sprints right now. Yeah,
it's, I mean, but your boy Reed had another good finish. Leishman was up there. Corey Connors, the chalk, up there again. Cameron Smith, another good finish. Finau, top 10 again.
Some of the same dudes year after year.
Yeah.
Kind of finishing up Sink. There.
I am surprised DJ missed the cut.
Yeah. So
Did you see Siwoo Kim break his putter and then finish out with a 3-wood?
Yeah, that was the guy I drew on Saturday. So I had everybody tell me that at the golf course. so you have the guy with the 3-wood putter, right? Yeah, it's Siwoo. Yeah, that's who I got. Yeah. I know who I got. Well, I wish it was a Pete Dye course, but it's not. So it's okay.
He actually played pretty well.
No, he did. He did. And that's what I kept telling the guys, because like some of the guys that golf there, they don't pay that close attention to actually the real golf.
Yeah.
It was just really weird to me. But so we were having lunch yesterday, and this one guy shot really well on Saturday. He's like, I have this guy, and he's like, pulls his own. Oh, Bezenhout. He's like, who the heck's this? Man, he's a good young kid. You played so well. As long as he doesn't blow up, you're fine. So we were watching it, and he shoots even. He's like, oh, he's got to do better. I'm all, dude, John Rahm's the only guy going low. You're going to win this damn thing. Like, this is what you wanted. Everybody else is blowing up over here. It's so funny, the naive nature of people. But, it was interesting watching Sunday's golf. Like, that's the most sitting down I got to watch. But I didn't watch, the recap. That's the good thing about the Masters. Like, the Golf Channel just puts it on loop for you. Yeah. So I can catch it all at night, and it's awesome. It's a great tournament, as we love. It just felt so weird either due to the color. It was better than the fall with the fans. It was cool. Like, I was jealous to imagine being fans in that small of a group.
And yeah,
like,
buddy. Oh,
dude, yes. Have full yes. reign of that golf
yeah,
course.
Just wherever you want to go and just find you a spot, man.
That's like, I'm envious, because I know if I ever do get drawn, it's going to be like one of like 2 million people or something. And it's going to be just like, oh crap, here we go again. I did that at the US Open at Pebble. I don't think I'll do it again type thing. It was cool to go once. It was just like, I'd rather watch it on TV right now.
I'm with you. I'm the same way.
But it was fun. Looking forward to it. We get the PGA Championship in a month. So the schedule just keeps on trucking. It's wild. And we got the RBC Heritage this week, which actually still has a pretty good size field. Surprisingly, our quality field, I should say, size is only 136 golfers. But quality-wise, it's kind of like last year's, which had different reasons why it was higher quality last year. But usually the week after the Masters, not that many guys show up, just some sponsors like guys that have to show up, like Cooch and DJ, but otherwise not much. We got quite a bit this week. So why don't you give us a little past event history on this one?
Did you see Bryson WD?
Yes, Bryson WD, and that doesn't surprise me. Honestly, that boy needs to – I love what he can do. It's fun when he gets to the right golf course and do it, but he needs to also realize he can't do it at every golf course.
He hit some insane shots, though, dude.
It's fun to watch. I'm all for it. Like, I am 100% on board with it, but it's like your risk-reward on certain golf courses. Like, it wouldn't work at Harbortown. It's too short for him. With all the water in play, he'd get destroyed here, I think.
Yeah. But, well, I'm with you. I mean,
I love it.
I don't blame him for not playing this week either.
You don't need to play. Oh, one last thing. Okay, I want to get your thoughts on this, because I was told I was overthinking things. So we all saw it on Twitter. First, it was cool seeing Hideki party with his guys. Did you know that his caddy is not actually a caddy? It's just his best friend that carries his bag.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that till today.
I didn't know that till yesterday whenever they mentioned it on air, and then somebody tweeted about the fact.
That's so Hideki right there. That does not surprise me one bit. But so there's pictures of them partying and stuff, and then they go to the airport today, and he's carrying this jacket over his shoulder, not even in a garment bag, just carrying it over his shoulder. No big deal. Look at me. I'm Hideki. And then he's flying coach.
Yeah.
Like, dude, did you not, like, not even just yesterday, the dude's made millions upon millions of dollars. At least first class it, if not private jet, just throwing it out there. Like, NetJet, hello. Your sponsor right here.
I don't know, man. Like, I was texting with some friends about that too. Like, I wouldn't be carrying around the green jacket and just like there's a picture of him with it just laying
on the seat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he's going to fly to Chicago. And then I don't know if he just flew straight from Chicago to Tokyo or what, but yeah, I mean,
it was pretty wild.
I'm at least going to have that in the bag.
Yeah.
Like, but I don't know, man.
I thought it was pretty wild, but it was still entertaining.
I would be spending the 100 or 50K or whatever it costs to fly my boys back to Tokyo private.
Yep. That's the thing. Someone's like, well, do you know how much it costs? Do you know how much money I just won now and I've won in my entire career? And I guarantee if I do it right, I can get a sponsor. It's a business expense. I'm writing the whole thing off. We are going to Tokyo on this plane.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Okay. I'm just glad we're on the same page. There's zero chance I'm taking a layover and two flights coach to Tokyo. Not happening.
Okay. No, sir. No.
Fast event history for the
same, same page there. Last year, this tournament was played in June. It was originally scheduled for April, but obviously because of the pandemic got delayed. Webb Simpson was the winner, 22 under par, one shot over Abe Anser. And you'll see that this 22 under par is a bit of an outlier. 2019 winner was CT Pan, 12 under, one shot over Matt Kuchar. 2018 winner was Satoshi Kodaira, 12 under in a playoff over Siwoo Kim. Wesley Bryan was your 2017 winner, 13 under, one shot over Luke Donald. Brandon Grace won in 2016, 9 under, two shots over Luke Donald and Russell Knox. Jim Furyk won this twice. Kuchar's won this one time in 2014. Brant Snedeker's won this in the past. Graham McDowell, Boo Weekly, back-to-back winner.
Boo Weekly, back-to-back. Yeah. There's a hard trivia question.
Stuart Sink has actually won this tournament twice, too, but it was in the early 2000s.
The Stu Goat. Still got it. We're talking the golf course here. You're talking Harbortown Golf Links. It's a par 71, a little over 7,100 yards. Pete Dye design. You're going to hear that over and over. But I say that because it's like true. These guys, there are specialists. These guys ball out at these Pete Dye golf courses. And we've talked about it. We played them. Like, you need to play them a few times because you are going to get screwed over with like what you think you can do and what you can't do. This course is all about your tee shot needs to be in the right spot. If it's in the fairway to the left, to the rough to the right, wherever, each hole's different. Like some holes you will be better off out of the rough than you will be in the fairway for your approach shot in. That's just the way it goes. And that's just experience and practicing here. There is water in play on every single hole, one way or another. Some to severe more than others, but water on every hole. There's strategic bunkers in the fairway, plus around the greens. Greens are, 3,700 square feet. They're not like pebbles small, but they're not big like normal. So about 60 to 65% greens in regulation. So lots of scrambling in play. Bermuda greens, you'll hear that as a common theme as well. Also, there's tree-lined fairways, so you can get in trouble if you're not just even in the rough or the fairway. It gets nasty for you. Plus, some of those trees will kind of distract from your second shot, thus being in different locations. Last but not least, the three par fives aren't as gettable as you'd hope they'd be for a golf course because that's another Pete Dye thing. It's like lay up here or really take on a challenge, which you're going to do. And the reason why they don't take on a challenge a lot, and I think Jesse kind of hinted at the different scoring one year, most of the time it's windy here. So you're not doing a lot of stupid stuff. You're just taking kind of what the golf course gives you. The year that Webb shot 22 under, there was basically no wind. So you got that going for you. But every other year where you get those like 11, 10, 9-unders, windy days, windy conditions. So keep an eye on that as well. With that being said, Jesse, what kind of stats are you looking at?
A lot of accuracy, obviously off the tee, approach, huge. Always when you're on Pete Dye courses, short game matters a lot. Plenty of course history. So that's where I'm focusing.
Yeah, all that good stuff. Before we go on, shout out to my buddy Colin here. I know him from baseball, but he decided to play Masters last week and loved every minute. He's all, I didn't know about a 4-day sweat in my life. This is the greatest thing ever. Now he loves PGADFS and he decided to jump in the show today. I told people
it's over, man. Great,
man. Like some days you get
Did you notice that they have golf on DraftKings at the very top now?
Oh, it's because it's like a Mayo said it a long time ago. And I know he's got a big influence, but when people start to get that itch and they realize you get at least 2-day sweats,
Right.
But if you get that 4 day, there's nothing like it. Yeah, there is nothing like it at all.
Well, you get the double sweat because you're sweating the cut line typically, unless you
just coasting.
Yeah. Which never happens to me. There's always one guy at least that I'm looking at like, God bless.
Yeah. There's been many Thursdays where I think I have the nuts, and then Friday is like three of them just completely just trunk slam on the way in.
Yep.
So that happens often. But and then the Sunday sweats, which is always fun. So that's always good stuff. Before we get into the DraftKings picks, as always, fanciersports.com. Check out Fancier Sports. Use promo code ALWAYSPRESS to get it's down to 20% off the package of your choice. Just a couple things here. You can do all kinds of goofy stuff, but last six events on Bermuda Greens, DraftKings scoring wise in this field, you have Colin Morikawa leading the way, followed by Dustin Johnson, Sergio Garcia, Carlos Ortiz, and Corey Connors. And then the last six events on Pete Dye golf courses in this field, Abe Anser, Chase Seifert, Brian Harman, Will Zalatoris, but he's only played one event, so it doesn't really count, I guess. Sergio, Kuchar, and Casey. And those stats, I do not count the match play. So keep that in mind. But you get the gist of what you need to do there. All right. Let's get into the DK scoring. It's a fun one. It's a packed house. We have 2, 4, 6 guys over 10K. DJ at 11.6, Cantlay at 10.9, Webb at 10.7, Morikawa at 10.5. Cam Smith is up to 10.2. I'm talking, that's respect right there. And Berger at 10,000. What do you liking up here, Jesse?
What'd they do? Just take everybody who missed the cut last week and just stick them up here?
Pretty much.
I mean, obviously, Webb made it and so did Colin and Cam Smith, but Berger, Cantlay, DJ missed it. I won't be playing DJ. He's in one of those funks, and I mean, obviously he could snap out of it at any time, but the fact that he missed the cut last week tells me a lot. And his success around here has not been great. I think Cantlay is totally fine, especially with this course history. Third, seventh, third in his three appearances here. Does have two straight missed cuts on tour, but those were, you know, the Players and the Masters. I think he's a solid GPP play this week. Webb, I think he'll be very popular, defending champion, 12th place finish last week. Missed at the Players, but 6th at the Workday. Morikawa, obviously great with his irons. He's played here one time, finished 64th last year. 18th at the Masters. Nothing spectacular from him, but he seems okay. And then, you know, Cam's, his course history is not good, especially recently. Miscut 32nd, 29th, 15th. Did play well last week, played well at the Players. I don't know. I don't know what to do with Cam, but I really, if I'm up here, and I don't know that I will be, Cantlay, I think Webb will be chalk.
Yeah. It's a range, like always, you can kind of make arguments for most of these guys. So I'm trying to differentiate, like, obviously we've said it pretty much on a lot of shows. If DJ shows up, he just runs away with this one probably, because his game's just, like, he's one of the better, like you get a wedge in his hand from like 100 to 125 yards out. There aren't a ton better than DJ, but it's you never know where he's at. He might just be going through the motions of the sponsorship in this one. I love Webb. He's going to be very chalky, like you said, but for good reasons. Like if you and something to be said about this is you don't have to avoid the chalk. Look at the Millie Maker winner last week. He had Spieth at 33%. He had Connors at like 21, Casey at 26, but he had Hideki at 7% and Xander at 11. So you don't have to be different everywhere. If you think Webb's going to win the darn thing, go for it. Like, right. Don't hold back. There's tons of places to be different elsewhere in your lineup. But he will be chalky. That's all we're trying to tell you there. I like Morikawa for that iron play idea. I think playing here once has helped him a ton. We've kind of seen that with him as he gets more and more comfortable with some of these golf courses, given he did some on his first go-around. But coming in with that 18th at the Masters, I like quite a bit with Kawa. And then I am intrigued by Cam Smith. Yeah, the recent form here at this course is not great, but his current form is very good. And I think if you have to pick one guy in this 10K range that kind of gets the low ownership straw, it's probably Cam Smith. So I think if you want to play that part of the game, I think it's a very intriguing play here that could be quite interesting come lineup building time. All right, now where the fun begins, because I already know one play that Jesse's going to be on here. But in the 9K range, we got Willie Z at 97, Hatton at 95, Connors at 93, Casey at 92, Fitz at 91, and Sungjae M at 9,000. Okay, how much Willie Zalatoris you want this week?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't play him. I mean, it's just insane the run he's been on this year, especially. You know, one kind of bad tournament, if you want to say it that. He still made the cut at that at Pebble Beach, finished 56. Other than that, I mean, he's basically inside the top. He is inside the top 20 in 25 in every single golf tournament he's played this year in the calendar year, that is. And you know, obviously culminating with the Masters last week, and I think he wins the darn thing if it doesn't rain. So yeah, obviously Zalatoris, he's number one on my Fantasy Labs model. Corey Connors coming off the you know, solid finish, very chalky last week, but finished eighth, paid off for everybody. I don't know if he'll be chalky again this week at 93. I think Paul Casey had a good week. His course history is not great, especially the last two times he's been here, miscut. But, you know, he does have two top 20s in previous years. So I think Paul's fine. Didn't Fitzpatrick say this was like his favorite place?
Yeah, it is.
Well, the thing with the year he said that was like 2017, I think, and he missed the cut for the second consecutive year. But since then, 14th, 39th, 14th. So pretty good there. Made the cut last week at the Masters. I think he is totally fine, too. Sung Jae has bad course history here, coming off a miscut. I mean, did you see some of the scores that Sung Jae made?
Yeah, because he was in one of my three lineups. So on the fancy master thing, he was the one at the bottom of my player chart every time, and there's more pluses every time I check in.
I don't know what the fuck got into
him. He's done it before. Like, he'll be playing good, and then when he has one ejection hole, the whole thing just goes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he took like an 8 or something on 15, didn't he? 8 or 9. I don't know. It was bad. So I don't know. That mixed in with the fact that he's missed two straight cuts should give him low ownership. When I say two straight missed cuts at this golf course, at this golf tournament. So would it be the time to jump on him? I mean, really, that would be the time to jump on him, in my opinion. But the thing about the chalk here recently is, for the last, like, it feels like 5 years, the chalk's just murders.
Yep. Well, I think a lot of it's because there's so much good content out now.
Yeah.
So you can't really hide the – you're not as sneaky as you think you once were. You got to find like that one or two players there. You kind of differentiate, basically. And like, I think we've got enough people that have been on Will Zalatoris long enough now, or are smart enough now, that have played game theory enough to go, hey, Sung Jae's better than this. It's going to click eventually.
Yeah.
Be on it before it happens. And I'm on board with that idea. The thing with Sung Jae, it's really tilting me here, and it shows in his finishes here. He's struggled on Pete Dye Designs. I remember after his first year on tour, Dire Work was putting in some stuff in the Slack chat, and he was playing great golf, just blew up at a die. Great golf, blew up at a die. So he started looking at his numbers, and he was just all over the place. The problem with this course is interesting. Shorter course and Bermuda courses, which are his freaking repertoire. So it's like, does he go back to the kind of courses he likes, or does the die design get him? And that's the tough part. But at low ownership, he's a great tournament. If you're doing like 20 max or more, I'd have some Jay for sure.
I agree. He's just not the cash play like he usually
is. Not a chance. I would not be able to stomach that at all. Yeah. Especially when you have a cash play like Fitzpatrick at 91. Like, yes, I'll be eating a lot of that again this week, because the dude, he's going to win eventually. I love how Kevin said he might be the new Fleetwood, because he plays so well, and he is kind of like finds the banana peel just enough to not win all the time. So he does something. But I like Fitz at 91. I like Connors at 93. Outside of the match play, 8th, 14th, 7th, 3rd in his last four events, pretty much the Florida swing and then Augusta. Not bad. Not bad at all. So I don't mind going to Connors there. And then Willie Z. Willie Z's in play. You got to go there. It'll be very, very intriguing. The only thing – and Sung Jae's ownership will be kind of low, because I think people are slowly getting on Fitzpatrick. And when you get in the 8K range at 8,900, you have Mr. Abe Answer, who will be a little popular this week. You have Fleetwood at 88, Harmon at 87, Sergio at 86, Lowry at 85, English 84, Westwood 83, Horschel 82, Na 81, Cooch 8,000. Very large 8K range compared to the norm, Jesse. What guys are you liking here?
Yeah, plenty of guys to play here. Obviously, Answer, very playable. Second place here last year after his miscut the year before that. Has now three consecutive top 26s. You know, obviously the last three tournaments, minus the Texas Open, have been, you know, pretty big well, the Masters and the Players is what I'm saying have been big tournaments. Anyways, playing solid golf, 8,900. I think he's fine. I like Brian Harman quite a bit this week at 87. He was very solid at the Masters. He didn't have a great weekend, shot two over, still finished 12th. Before that was third at the Players Championship. He's playing really good golf. He is trending in the right direction. Yeah. This course, in my opinion, should shoot him or should suit him. He reminds me of like some of these, like, obviously, if you go back and look at the past winners here, a lot of them and the guys who finish well are Asian players, and they traditionally are kind of like short hitters. Mm-hmm. And that's Brian Harman's game. I feel like this course should suit him pretty well, where he's not having to, you know, deal with, you know, people hitting it 50 yards past him or whatever. So, Brian Harman, like him quite a bit, 8,700. I think Lowry's fine, especially if it's windy. You know, obviously, Open champion. He's been that way for almost 2 years now. The Open champion, British Open. Yeah.
I got you.
21st last week. He did miss the cut here last year, but third in 2019, which should be more comparable to the way conditions will be this week. And then Matt Kuchar at 8,000. I know he missed the cut last week. He was right on the number. You know, I don't really know what was wrong with his game other than he started with a 78. So he was six that's over
put you behind the
first round. Quick. Yeah. But then he shoots 200 the next round, misses, you know, by shooting plus four. I don't know. Has he ever missed a cut here? Going back to 2014, I don't have a missed cut with a win, a second place, two other top tens.
I don't think he's missed many, if any, here. I'll tell you that. I don't have any record of a missed cut either. So
I like Cooch quite a bit. Did you see Billy Horschel?
Yeah, I got his temper tantrum.
Did you see him apologize today?
Yeah, it's pretty weak.
Yeah.
I'm
blocked
up,
on Twitter. I'm blocked on Twitter, but funny story, just real quick about Billy Horschel. Obviously, did you see him take his shoes off twice?
Back-to-back days? Like, honestly, yeah. It seems like every time there's a golf tournament with some somewhat adverse conditions, he's playing out of the water somewhere because he wants to show his calves or his stomach or something.
The best thing about it is he wore white pants. But So, obviously, Saturday, he takes his shoes off. It's a great – he's a hell of a shot. I mean,
he's got some nice practice at it. It makes sense.
It impressed Phil Mickelson. Like, Phil was playing with him. And
Phil's
Phil
like,
was
I got to slice one over there next time and try it.
So, anyways, before that, he's walking down the hill. He slips and he falls, whatever. My wife texts me today and is like, did somebody at the Masters fall in the water? And I said, no, Billy Horschel took his shoes off, fell down, you know, looked like he may have had a little accident on his white pants, you know. And what did she say? Let me pull this up real quick because this is, like, pretty good. He said, well, that's what he gets for blocking you on Twitter.
You got to love it. Wife's got your back.
This is funny. My wife knows that he has been blocked on Twitter. That's so does everybody good. Else who talks to me about Billy Horschel because that's the first thing I tell them. But that's awesome. Whatever. Apparently, I was reading through some stuff today, and I'm not the only one.
There's quite a few. It's basically,
I mean, like some guys that I follow that are like really like,
yeah,
very chill golf guys. Like not even like DFS golf guys, just chill golf guys.
It's basically, weird. If you've ever said anything about negative about Billy Horschel, he somehow finds it and he blocks you. Yeah, he's very. That just shows you how big of his brain he has. Like the real estate in that brain. By Twitter people. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
But yeah, Billy Ho. 8K range though. I love Answer. I love Answer at $8,900. I'm gonna keep riding this. And one thing that really stands out, we talked about Pete Dye Specialist. He loves Pete Dye golf courses, plays them extremely well. So I'm going back to Answer here. Love Harman. I was all about him last week. He played very well. He, like you said, he's coming, like his game is in such a great place. And we talked about it last week. He's playing great golf. So I love Harman this week. Then the two other guys I don't mind in this range, Kevin Na is intriguing at $8,100. You know, he finished 12th last week, he finished 10th here 2 years ago. He's got a fourth place finish back in 2016. So it's the typical Kevin Na, like 10th miscut, 39th fourth. So you get the roller coaster ride, but he's got that upside that I don't mind at $8,100. And then Cooch, I don't hate that either. You can definitely have some fun with Cooch. 7K range, go 7,500 or 79. Jesse, who you liking?
Siwoo, obviously, coming off a solid showing last week. We all know how good he is on Pete Dye courses. Charlie Hoffman, 7,800. second place finish at the Texas Open, which was his last tournament. Didn't make the Masters. Course history is kind of up and down. Miscut 45th, 23rd miscut, 14th, 64th, 38th. So, I mean, some okay finishes in there, a couple miscuts. You know, it's dicey, but at 7,800, I'm definitely worth it. And one very surprising price here is Ian Poulter. He played the weekend, finished 26th at the Masters after two consecutive miscuts down in Florida. I don't have him with a miscut here since 2011. He hasn't played every year, but do you have anything further back than that?
I don't have anything further back than that, no.
14th last year, 10th, 7th, 11th in his last four appearances. So, I mean, it's $7,600. To me, it's a no-brainer. So that's kind of where I'm focused. What about your boy Bobby Mack?
Well, I'm all over it, dude. I was – okay, Thursday, I was nervous as hell because I was all in and he shot like 200, but he was up to 400. He was – I'm just feeling he's like
he made a shit ton of birdies, dude.
Yes, he's a DK machine.
Yeah,
like I love this guy. He doesn't care. He's another, you know, European. If it gets windy, not gonna be a problem. I will play some more Bobby Mack this week. We will definitely be on that train at 7,800. I like that quite a bit. Don't mind Siwoo, don't mind Hoffman, like you mentioned. The other guys are like in this little price range. Bezenhout at 76. Or 77. He finished 28th here last year. So I don't mind that little course history. 40th at the Masters, obviously 41st, the Players. Just kind of a steady guy. Might not be able to get you the dub, but can get you through to the weekend. Poulter loves this golf course. So yeah, I'll jump there. Like you were talking about 76. And then last but not least, I think I want to ride the hot stretch that we've seen out of Matt Wallace. He finished 64th here last year before a miscut the year before, but 34th last week, third at the Valero. You know, 28th even at match play, a miscut, and then 10th or 18th at the API. He's even talked about how he's playing. This is the best he's felt playing golf in a long time. So Matt Wallace at 75, I don't mind it. Another guy, if it gets windy, we can see some good play there like we did at the Valero. So that's what I like in this range. What do you like at 7K to 7,400?
Start with Griot at 73. Miscut here last year, but 33rd, 19th, 16th in 2018. So pretty solid finishes there. His last time out, he was sixth. That was at Dominican Republic. Missed the cut. The Players kind of, you know, up and down, but that's just the way Griot is. JT Poston, man, he's interesting because eighth and sixth the last 2 years here. Miscut last time out at the Honda, but 22nd miscut. I mean, you know, he's very hit or miss, but again, we're at $7,100 here. So, you know, definitely have to take some chances. ZJ at 72, I think, is fine. I'm not a huge ZJ guy, but he kind of fits the mold of, in my opinion, Brian Harman, as far as just hits it short and then, you know, has a solid wedge game typically, at least when he's on. He didn't play very well last week. Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those ranges here. I don't know. I don't like a whole heck of a lot of anybody else, to be honest with you.
I like the Griot call at that same price range at 73. I'm kind of finding my way looking at Streelman. Miscut here last year, then sixth and seventh the 2 years before, ninth at the match play, 36th at Honda, you know, miscut at the Players, then 52nd, 13th, 22nd. So he seems to be playing a little bit better golf. Short golf courses favor Streels. So $7,300, he could be intriguing on this one. Michael Thompson, eighth and 10th place the last 2 years here. He's made three straight cuts here. 34th at the Masters, 19th at Honda, 48th at the Players. He's a guy that likes his Bermuda a bit. Lucas Glover at 71. He's made four of the last five cuts, including 21st last year. Fourth at the Valero, 9th at Honda, 48th at Players. Again, these are GPP plays. I wouldn't really trust too many of these in cash, but I could see the upside. You could see Glover going low or a Thompson going low. We've seen that time and time again, and we also seen them blow up. I do like Poston, like you mentioned, at 71. He's intriguing to me. And then the other guy I have here finished 33rd here last year, 67th at Valero, 9th match play, 33rd at Honda. Sepp Straka at 7K. He's one of those guys that could go birdies and bunches at times if things get clicking. And if we're talking about approach game being so important, he's one of the better iron players on tour. So if he's having to, you know, get certain shots out there and then maybe he's like 150 or so out, he's got that stuff dialed in pretty good. So it's Sepp at 7K. I think there's some definite GPP appeal with him. 6K range. What do you like down here, Jesse?
There's several names down here and guys to play. Neesmith, 6,900, 33rd here last year, coming off a 34th place finish at the Texas Open, 36th the week before that at the Honda. So playing decent. Snedeker, man, at 6,800. He finished sixth at the Texas Open. Past champion here. And I believe he's a past champion here, right? I mean, I guess it was before 2014. I'm pretty sure I mentioned his name. Anyways, his course history. Most recently, missed cut 48th, 23rd, 11th in the last 4 years. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he figured something out at the Texas Open, or maybe it was just because he's in Texas. I don't know. But it's worth a shot at 68. Stugoat Sink, 6,700. 62nd place finish here. Again, he was the 2004 and 2000 champion of the Heritage here. So you got to keep that in mind.
He had a full head of hair too.
Yeah, it was when he had hair. Finished 12th last week, 19th at the Honda, playing solid golf. Chase Seifert, I think he's a great play at 67. I know you mentioned him in the fan share stuff.
Yep.
I expected him to be higher owned at the Texas Open. He was only 4.8% on average there. Finished 44th. That's fine, whatever. Like him quite a bit. He's got really good iron game. So, and then I don't know why he's rating out so well on my model here, but Ben Martin, if you're way down here, 34th at the Texas Open, 9th Dominican Republic, 73rd Puerto Rico Open. Course history not terrible. 55th in 2018, missed cut, 45th, 37th, 3rd, 56th. I mean, $6,400, you know.
You could do worse things.
Yeah, for sure.
I like the Neesmith call. I like that quite a bit. Seifert, I love this week. So we'll see how that rates out. There's a lot of interesting names between Seifert and Neesmith, I'll say, though. So might spread out ownership quite a bit. But I do like Seifert. First time here, but coming in great form and plays Pete Dye's very, very well. Don't mind the Stugoat call, of course. And then a couple others I was looking at because it's weird. If you look at past event history and the current form, not a lot of good meetup spots here. But Camilo Villegas, he hasn't played here in 3 years. He's a different golfer than he was in the past, but 17th at Valero. He had a sixth at the Honda, an eighth at the Honda. I like his form at 6,500. I think if you're playing the GPP, obviously you're down here for a reason. I think he's got the upside to make a run for you. That's what you're looking for. So Camilo at 65, I can get on board with. And the other guy I was looking at down here, Rafael Campos, 32nd in 2017. 34th at Valero, second at Corrales. He's a guy that if it does get windy, like really, really plays well in his windy conditions. That's why second at Corrales. So you can keep him in mind at 7,400. But there's a bunch of interesting players down there for, like you were saying. It'd be I'm curious to see who comes out of that little pool this week. All right, let's recap things real quick. Jesse, 10K and above, who's your top play?
I'm going to say Cantlay.
I'm gonna go Webb. That's lazy. I'm gonna go Webb. 9K range is your top play.
I mean, not named Zalatoris.
Okay, that's good. 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 Yes, not named Zalatoris. I didn't have to say it this time. I'm good.
I'll say Paul Casey.
I'm gonna go Fitzpatrick, my boy. 8K range. Who goes? You can go two guys if you want.
I'll say Harmon and Kuchar.
I'm gonna go Harmon and answer. So everybody lock in Harmon, and then we can all cry together on Friday. 7,500 to 79, go with two guys.
Siwoo and Poulter.
I'm going to go with Bobby Mack and Bezenhout. 7K to 74, go two guys.
Griot and Poston.
I'm going to go with Thompson and Griot. 6K, who's your top player?
Seifert.
I'm going to go Seifert as well. I'm stuck on Seifert too, so that should be good. If you're starting out a cash game this week, what three guys are you starting out with?
You know, I think obviously trying to stay middled up there. Answer Harmon, Siwoo.
Yeah, I had Fitz, Answer, Bez. Obviously, Harmon would probably be my fourth. So that little range there, you could do some damage for sure. GPP though, who are three guys you're starting out with?
Put Will Zalatoris in there. You know, I think Lowry. Especially if it's windy, you got to consider him. Poulter.
Yeah, I put Fitz, Answer, and Harmon just like my cash lineup, but that's how I start out. But then you just kind of I differentiate more from there.
The one thing is you always got to play your cash lineup in a GPP.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's in baseball. It's been my best lineup every night. So go figure.
That's how it always works, man.
Yeah, always. Never fails.
Just play a cash lineup.
Pretty much. Pretty much. That's how it usually works. Who you got winning this thing when we're looking at odds here? Because anybody can win, but any type of golfer can win here. It doesn't favor bombers per se, so it kind of opens up things a little bit. Like Harmon at 33 Not sure he wins, but it's interesting.
Yeah, you go ahead. Let me pull him up. I forgot to.
Yeah, yeah. I got Harmon at 33. I like Abe at 28. That's a little short, but I don't mind Abe at 28. I'd go Bezenhut with the top 10. He's 50-1. I don't think he wins a top 10. Bobby Mack, a top 10 would be fun. We can go deeper with some top 20 guys, like post plus 100 guys. Wouldn't mind seeing that. The way JT Poston plays here, he's 100-1. Go put a top 20 on that and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, Sneds obviously too is as a past champion, 100-1. I don't know that would burn any, a $10 bill on him, maybe a dollar bill or something. But
Seifert's 200-1.
Sergio at 33. I didn't mention him earlier, but it's not terrible for where he's at there. It's Kuchar at 40. I don't know if Kuchar's ready to win. Charlie Hoffman at 50.
That's not bad. Siwoo's at 40. If he cracks that,
That's not bad. Siwoo has a win, more recently than a lot of these guys. So.
You know, one guy we didn't talk about, and I might as well bring him up if I can find him again here. He's a 66, I believe. Bovada. That's Chris Kirk, who he's a $7,500. Course history is not great, but current form's outstanding.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
If you mentioned him, I apologize, and I missed it.
No, but I didn't mention him.
But, yeah, that's one guy I was looking at this going, yeah, that's actually an interesting potential GPP type. But I never play him because I never, feel confident in it. But yeah. His current form is pretty darn good right now. So just an interesting thought there. But, yeah, the pricing is quite intriguing. Obviously, it's very top-heavy, but you could have some fun with some longer shots down here, no doubt about that.
For sure.
But, all right, Jesse, final thoughts for the RBC Heritage.
I don't have any besides have fun, good luck. I'll be in Arizona, dude. I'm going to Arizona.
Oh, you lucky dog. Where are you playing?
Scottsdale.
TPC?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, you say Scottsdale is like 20,000 courses
there.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah. Oh, you don't want people coming to find you. I got you.
No, see, dude, I can't maybe having the paparazzi and shit all over.
Yeah, you don't need that. You already got the hood on. You're hiding. Yeah, I got you. Yeah. Okay, fair enough. But so be on the lookout in Scottsdale, people. Jesse will be out there. But you can also find him on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, and I'll make sure to text him and bug him when certain guys are like tank for us because he won't be watching. You can find the podcast on Twitter at Always Press DFS. I'm at BD Intrick. Until next time, this was your RBC Heritage Preview. Catch you guys later.
Kent State's reputation in the fashion industry is something you would hear from everyone when you're in New York City.
I will say we're quite well known for being hard workers.
Kent is really known for delivering well-rounded students.
Kent has one of the most prestigious fashion programs in the U.S. and also internationally ranked.
Our alumni are in every corner of the industry, every job position that you can imagine.
They all are ready. They have all the courses. They have everything under their belt.
Hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like.
Exco, give it to you.
How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Biosonic sound experience. And that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it?
Exco, give it to you.
Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S.
Give up.
Order now at Acura.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.